Boston of the Braves. Charlie, thanks for coming in. You look good, all things considered. The eye looks like it's healing up really well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The eye's good. Vision's good. Just a few broken bones, unfortunately, but no, it could have been worse. So I feel pretty good. Just glad to be here.
Take us back to that moment. What goes through your mind as soon as, boom, that happens?
It happened all too quick for me, honestly. You know, you squared a bunt. You know, pitchers are taught to throw inside. I get it. And I know there was no intention there. And it just happened. It got away from them. And unfortunately, when you're squared, especially for a sacrifice bunt, if it comes right at you, it's kind of tough to get out of the way. And I remember everything, and I'm just glad it hit me in the spot it hit me at.
Yeah, you're inches. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. 2 inches higher, and it's a game changer, and everybody knows that.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that, you know, myself and Dr. Royster, who was with us, luckily, that weekend, we were talking about that, and he kind of gave me a story on his end, what he experienced before with somebody about losing their eye. And thinking about it, you know, it made me realize that I was super lucky. At first, I was on the ground. I was thinking that my teeth were busted because I went to cough, and I started feeling a crack. And so I kind of freaked out for a second. And then once I got up, I could see, I knew everything was okay. It just didn't feel too great.
Yeah, it's probably one of those situations where people are looking at you as well, and they're trying not to worry you, but you could see the look on their faces. Everybody, you know, watching on TV, we were shell-shocked, let alone being there.
Yeah, I've been in a situation, too, where somebody's gotten hit at the field, and it's never a fun moment for anybody because you worry about their health and how they're going to be. But at that moment, it's a tough moment. And, you know, seeing everybody's reaction and the support I've gotten over the last two and a half weeks has been unbelievable, and it's meant so much to me. You know, but for myself, to be able to get up and, you know, get carted off the field, I was okay. I was able to see, but see everybody's reaction was obviously pretty special to me and meant a lot.
So the long-term baseball thing is you also have to resign yourself to the fact that you're not going to be part of the postseason. And I'm not telling you the physical wasn't bad, but part of me believes that maybe the mental of getting yourself sort of wrapped around the idea that you're not going to be a part of this might actually hurt a little bit more.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to be a part of the last three postseasons and have some fun experiences. But just being around the guys, I feel like is what I need to do for myself, but for hopefully for them too. Mm-hmm. Just being there, doing whatever I can to help them out. Obviously, I can't suit up and go out there and play and be out there with them. But being in the dugout, you know, cheering them on, you know, doing my part by maybe doing some video work and picking up on a few things here and there on other teams. And, you know, I think just being an encourager is the biggest thing for me. I love supporting people, especially my team, and especially at a time like now. Postseason's huge. To be able to start at home is special. And we have a great, you know, great fan base here. So I'm excited.
We've asked players over the years, you know, it's not like asking who your favorite child is, but you ask guys who some of their favorite teammates are, and they'll pick an answer for a different reason. Maybe it's a guy who actually, when they were young, helped them a little bit. Maybe it's a guy who enthusiastically, as a young guy, has come to you. What's different about this clubhouse? Like, because to a man, everybody, and I've smelled BS on this before. I've heard guys tell me, oh, everything's great here, but then you sense things, you know things are going on, and it's not. What about this group? Why is everybody seem to be in line with this is a really good group of guys?
Obviously, there's a lot of really good baseball players. But when you put a lot of really good baseball players together, a lot of times they don't win. You have to be like family. You know, we're with each other every single day, you know, throughout the year. We're putting so much time in together. But you can tell as the year has gone on, we've gotten closer. It's more about caring for one another, even off the field, just caring about that person and who they are. And then for me, when I get, you know, have those relationships, building those relationships with different people, it allows me to want to pull for them more. Now we have more in the fight, not, you know, we're playing baseball, but we have more into it. Now when somebody does well, you know, I'm that much more excited.
Is that
for
a real
them.
Thing, though? Is that tangible? Do you believe it helps you win games?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's if there's one thing that I can do and I can control, it's an attitude and being able to be there for one another. I might stink. I might not do well during that game. But if I can do something to help somebody else out, or, hey, that's a hell of a play, or whatever it may be, cheer somebody up, cheer somebody on, pick somebody up, whatever it may be, I'm going to do that. And that's a real thing for sure.
Charlie Culberson here of the Braves in studio with us on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Let's talk about experience. Obviously, you played and played well in a World Series. And Alex Anthopoulos was sitting in your chair in studio with us, and he said, this year's a little bit different. Last year, I think everybody was kind of just glad to be here. This year, let's win some series and maybe win the whole thing. What does that mean for some of these younger guys, you having that experience, them being here for the second time around?
Yeah, I think he hit it on the nose right there. Everyone was excited just to get there. And then, obviously, the Dodgers were a better team than we were last year. And I've said it before, but when they won, they beat us. They didn't really celebrate because they knew they were supposed to win. And that's how I feel like our team needs to go into this postseason. We have home field advantage right now in the first round. Go in there, but don't change things up. Don't act like you have to do more. That's the key thing. It's like you prepare for that game, for your moments to help out, but don't do too much. That's where, you know, when the game's heightened a little bit, myself included, we want to try to do too much. If you do your part, then let somebody else do their part, then good things happen. Again, I heard Fulte say the other night on TV during the game, when they were talking to him, it was like, just slow the game back down. We're still playing baseball. Yeah, it's a little bit more because it is postseason, but don't try to do too much. And it's easy to say, but it's a real thing.
It's so funny because you played for a couple organizations, certainly the Dodgers and here now, where people talk about analytics and they just think, okay, if you just say the word analytics, we're supposed to believe that it's reams of paper and here, we're going to be a better team because of this. What I can't figure out is how more people still don't talk about, maybe Bochy, who you played for, there's still an eyeball thing. Until you put a heart monitor, who wants the ball in the ninth inning? Who wants it hit to them in the eighth or ninth inning? Who wants the at-bat? Like, that's the one thing that you can't measure. I don't care what all of the numbers tell you. There are certain people that say there's no such thing as clutch. I don't buy that. I believe guys who get their pulse rate down to normal in abnormal situations are the guys that I want around on my baseball team, especially in October. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if somebody can see somebody doing well, if the numbers don't suggest that, oh, this guy isn't going to succeed right now, but what if he's hot? What if you can tell by looking at him, like, he's got that swagger, he looks good, he looks comfortable? Yeah, I think, you know, baseball, you still have to judge off of that as well. You can't just say, oh, well, the numbers say this. I mean, I love the numbers. The numbers are a good thing. It proves what kind of players guys are overall, but there are certain times where you have to just look at, you know, from your eye, do the eye test. Is this, we need this guy in this situation.
Do you believe there are guys who are better able to handle what October is than others? Are certain guys built for it emotionally? Can certain guys make it as normal as possible a Tuesday night in May?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, not everybody's the same. You know, Mike Trout's different than a lot of players. You know, he's one of the best to ever play the game. I'm sure he has that it factor, obviously, that he can just go out there and do it because he's done it every single year.
But the crazy part is he's only got one postseason under his belt so far. We don't even know what he is in October, which really stinks as a baseball fan.
Yeah, that does stink. That just comes back to being his team too, right? They just don't win as much. But I'm not sure who else is a postseason player that's done really well. Madison Bumgarner. Yeah, a few years ago when he gave up, what, a couple earned runs?
Charlie Morton last year.
Yeah. I mean, some guys just love it. And then some guys, like even for myself a couple years ago, I didn't play much in September with the Dodgers, and then I felt like I kind of locked it in. I felt pretty good. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes you just can lock it in because everything's heightened a little bit more. So I just think that you have to want it. But there are guys that, you know, overall can rise to the occasion and I feel like perform better under those circumstances.
Well, Chris brings up Mike Trout, Charlie Culberson, by the way, in studio with us, and you talked about being locked in. in the World Series for the Dodgers a couple of years ago. Do you try to get that across to some of the younger guys? Let's not assume that we're going to have this every year. We're lucky. Let's try to take advantage of this opportunity right now.
Right, and I'll go back to being locked in. I didn't have as many at-bats as a lot of guys did during that postseason. So I did feel good, but I didn't have your 50 or 60 at-bats in the postseason or whatever it may be. But, yeah, these opportunities, you know, sometimes I feel like we might take it for granted a little bit because here we are. This is our second year in a row, you know, in Atlanta being in the postseason. And then back in their stretch when they won, 14 in a row? Mm-hmm. I mean, that just – you just never know when it's going to start, never know when it's going to end, never know really what's in the future. You just got to live in the moment. But we have a lot of guys that will. And I think – I mean, I'm excited to be able to watch and cheer these guys on.
It's why making the play you're supposed to make. You know, Nick has heard me talk about it. I've talked about it with Mark Lemke a bunch. It's not an error, but there are certain moments. Did you make the play or did you not make the play? You know, you can't assume a double play, so it's not an error, but did you make the play? When you had a guy 0-2, did you go finish him off? And there are so many of those in a game. You can't be giving 30 outs to somebody. You can't let them play a 10-inning game. And then if you strike out 12 times, you're playing a 5-inning game. There's no way you can consistently win. That's why defense and the ability to have a pitcher keep it in the ballpark, it's measurable, but it's bigger than people think.
Yeah, I think over a course of 162 games, that kind of gets lost in the mix a little bit. You know, you might give a team a couple extra outs during a game. You might not notice it as much during the season, but postseason, it's heightened. Every pitch matters. It's tough to rely on a long ball in the postseason because you got pretty much your top three pitchers pitching. Your starters are going to pretty much be in there the whole game, the whole time. Just different situations come up, but yeah, you have to capitalize on every single pitch, every play. And you don't want to put pressure on yourself, so you just go out there and play, but you just have to be a little bit more focused. And that's okay. I think the teams that are here, they're here for a reason, right? Everyone was a little bit more focused during the season and produced enough to get to the postseason.
And you know what's a real thing? Close and late to me is a real thing. If a team is good, close and late, that I'll buy, you know, we talk about run differential, and that just seems to be the easiest one because it's there on a piece of paper. I'll take 7th, 8th, and 9th inning teams over everybody.
And you guys, and you personally, know what this team is all about in the late innings. Never out of games are the Braves.
Yeah, it makes it fun. I mean, to know that you have to play 9 innings, but those last 3 innings are huge. Yeah, I think we have the guys that, you know, step up in those situations. And whenever they put up numbers on the board, it's like 7th inning or later, a lot of the numbers they put up, especially if they're going to do it here in Atlanta, they're going to put up, you know, good things, good numbers, good comments. But you look up there and I'm like, man, our guys are doing really well. Yeah. And so it's like runners in scoring position, 2 outs, like, those are fun moments. Those are moments that are heightened, and you want to put pressure on the pitcher in those moments.
Are you old enough where I can ask? Because Freddie's an old 29. I don't know if you are.
He just turned 30.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if you have been around enough or the way that you were brought up in the game, the idea of enthusiasm, the idea of fun, the idea of sort of clowning in the dugout. Have you changed your mind a little bit about what the game is and maybe what actually not only makes it more fun but maybe helps a team stay loose and win? Were you brought up with a little bit more stoicism as a player? You don't really show it?
I mean, sometimes I've let my emotions get to me doing too much, especially when I was younger. But I was always on teams that we were pretty good. We traveled a lot. We won a lot. But we had fun. And so I definitely think you have to have fun. You have to have guys be themselves. Josh Donaldson is himself. Let him be himself. Ronald Acuna. Ozzy, they're having fun. They're young. Let them be themselves. I think that's a big, big thing. Don't try to change anybody. I definitely think a team has to keep things under control a little bit, and that comes from your manager. And I think Snit's done a great job of letting us do our thing. So we don't do anything crazy. The umbrella's pretty fun. But it's making guys be comfortable. And if you try to change that person who they are and they're going to be uncomfortable, then they're not going to be the player that they're capable of being, you know.
Charlie Culberson here in studio with us. Remember, you can join us tomorrow for our Braves pep rally, courtesy of Jim Beam Peach and 680 The Fan, live from Hooters Cumberland. Your chance to win tickets to Game 1, giving away tickets each hour from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., so make sure you listen to 680 The Fan for all of your Atlanta Braves postseason coverage and win some tickets tomorrow. Are we going to see some old-school baseball at SunTrust Park over the next couple of games? Charlie Culberson will talk to him about that and more. Again, he's in studio with us, Domino and Cellini, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Charlie, we know you're not going to be a part of it on the field. You're going to be on the bench. You're going to help in every way you can. And I think you know about the Cardinals. They are old school. Some power with Goldschmidt in the middle of the lineup, but they lead the National League in stolen bases. They stole 116 bases this year, 80% success rate. So you know what they're going to try to do.
Yeah, they're going to try to run. You know, but I think our pitchers know, you know, I'm sure Dallas is pitching first game. He does a pretty good job of, you know, his slide step and being quick to the plate, and hopefully that, you know, will in turn shut down the run game, at least in game one. But that's just something that our pitchers are going to have to not, you know, 100% focus on, because they need to focus on pitching. But they're good enough to be able to adjust.
So in reality, it's less than one steal a game. It's not like they're running crazy, and it's not like, so it's less than one a game. Might they up it to attempting one a game? What it tells
that
me, though,
that one steal could make a huge difference, though, in the postseason.
No doubt. And everybody says, see, you know, see Dave Roberts, and I get all that stuff. But it also tells me they're probably good base runners. They're not just stolen base guys. It probably means they're good base runners, which could be more important than the stolen base itself.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, going first to third,
right,
advancing on a ball in the dirt, those are just as big, and those can come around to bite you in those big games, especially in the postseason. Played against Goldschmidt a lot. Big guy, hits a lot of home runs. He walks, but he runs the bases really well, and that's contagious too. If I see a guy on my team like a Freddie Freeman who's a big guy, he will steal a few bases, but he runs the bases as almost as good as I've seen. He's smart on the base paths. That's huge. And advancing on a ball, going first to third, tagging up, you know, getting a third, less than two outs, whatever it may be, everything's heightened that much more.
It's looking like Soroka is going to pitch in game three on the road, and everybody else on this staff, as far as the starters are concerned, they've got better numbers at home, with the exception of Soroka. What sets him apart for a guy so young? He seems so experienced.
Yeah, I look at Mike, and I'm like, man, this guy does not seem, was he 22 now?
Yeah.
It's just really hard to believe. I was in Double A, just trying to make it out of there at 22 years old, and here he is. Again, going back, talking about guys that sometimes are just better. He's just more mature. The way he goes about his business every day, the way he takes care of his body, takes care of his arm, is pretty impressive. And I think that rubs off. It even rubs off on guys like myself when I see a guy that young just go out there and do his thing. And it's fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Your reality, you try to express this to guys. You came up as, I think, a 23-year-old, and you just said you're in Double A in 22, so it wasn't handed to you. And you're not, we were just talking during the break, there's the guys who are the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. And you have an appreciation for guys who are just better.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't 30 teams worth of 25 guys of those. So if you don't have grinders, and it's a word that I go crazy when people think it's a negative thing. When you have grinders on your team and you have an appreciation for those guys, but you're trying to still be yourself, that's invaluable in a clubhouse over the course of a seven-month period. I just don't think everybody is going to be great, so you better find out how you can be really good on a given night.
Yeah, you're right, and I don't mind the word grinder either, because my career, it's been great. I wouldn't change it for anything, but I've kind of grinded in a sense of, you know, not being able to stick in the big leagues until the last couple of years. It was an up and down battle for, you know, 6 or 7 years, but it was fun, and I had to go through it, because whether it was not adjusting to the major leagues as quick as I wanted to, or not adjusting to my role, it was just something that I had to do to make adjustments for myself, and it is what it is. And it was funny. I've gotten really close with everybody on this team, but then I was talking with Ozzie the other day, and he was like, "How much time you got in the big leagues now?" I said, "Well, right around 4.5 years. And he goes, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, the last 2 years, you know, I've been up with the Braves, but before that it was up and down for like 6. And some guys just don't realize until you really talk about it. Again, I've enjoyed my career and ready for more, but here he is, 22 years old, with about 2 years or so of service time. Just, it doesn't relate as well.
Hard to get here, harder to stay has been the expression. And the other part is you tell guys, there's 50 rounds of draft. They're always looking for your replacement. They're scouring the world to find your replacement. And some guys don't have to worry about that. A lot of guys do.
Yeah, and I'd be lying if I say I didn't have opportunities. I've been given plenty of opportunities, more than a lot of guys, and I'm grateful for that. You know, I was, you know, grinding through the minor leagues, not doing that well, and then, you know, catching a break here and there. But I've been there, and I've been fortunate to be, you know, still sitting here today, a Major League Baseball player. So that's something that I truly don't take for granted. But some guys, yeah, some guys worry about it. Some guys don't have to because they're just that good. And that's you can tell which guys are, and they separate themselves a little bit.
Charlie Culberson here in studio with us. But your story is indicative of sometimes things happening in the postseason. Going back to your year with the Dodgers in 2017, you're left off of the initial postseason roster. Corey Seager hurts his back. You're on. You have a great NLCS, and then you go 3-for-5 in the World Series. Steve Pierce was the MVP for the Red Sox last year. We've seen it happen countless times. Guys seemingly coming out of nowhere to do great things in the postseason.
Yeah, it's great. And you need guys to do that, to be able to win. Like, if Steve Pierce doesn't do what he did last year, then do the Red Sox win? Who knows? But Steve's had a really nice career. And for him to be older and then come back and be the MVP of the World Series, that's special. That's awesome. I mean, I was a fan last year after we lost. You know, I love baseball. I love watching it. But to see somebody like that step up in those moments, it's awesome. You don't see that superstar every single time. And you need those guys to step up and be big for you during the postseason.
Littered. Baseball postseason, you know, again, we joke. You can become an all-star from April to September. You become a Hall of Famer in a lot of ways by what you do in October. And I'm talking about your team. Steve Pierce will never have to pay for anything in Boston ever again. I mean, there are certain guys you just go, that guy? Yeah, that guy. That guy came from beyond the left field wall to matter more than he ever has in his life. And that's why more words are written about baseball than every other sport combined, because of stories like that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's why, like, if you get the chance, talking about postseason, getting the chance to be that guy, again, don't try to do too much. But when you are, it's like that much more special because, you know, like, again, you don't have to just rely on your superstars to go out there and do the work. Just go out there and do your part, and hopefully good things happen. And it makes it for a lot of fun. I mean, and good stories, and you can talk about it for the rest of your life.
You have an interesting relationship with Yusiel Puig. Can you just explain, again, maybe that's why the game needs characters. They don't need over the top. They don't need... But the game does need different personalities and characters. Can you just spend 30 seconds talking about that guy?
Yeah, he's a character for sure. But Yasiel, I got to be really close with him the time I was in L.A., and our lockers were beside each other. And there was one moment when we talked about how he got over to the U.S. and how he was caught, I guess, arrested like 6 times, and then ended up making over on the 7th time. So that one moment made us closer because we actually talked. And he was talking in English, and which is, at the time, was kind of stepping out of his comfort zone a little bit. But he told me the whole story. And now it made me realize what he had to go through and his family had to go through. And they're still probably going through some things now. So he's a really good baseball player. But his background was even bigger for me. And that's why, you know, I enjoy him more as a person, too, because of what he's had to endure, you know, coming over to the States.
It's a fascinating sport. You talk about being on the road, getting close to guys. No other sports like baseball in that regard. You're going on the road together. You're together more than you're with your families during the season, obviously. Traveling and in the hotels, locker room, sharing the bus rides, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's why when you're with each other, you have to make the most of it. You know, there's some times where we might not go hang out every single night. But having that spur-of-the-moment dinner, or whatever it may be, to hang out with your teammates, just to get to know them that much more, because why not? You're with each other every single day. You know, let's get to know each other more. You know, if it's me and Dansby hanging out, well, maybe next time I'm going to go hang out with Luke Jackson or Josh Tomlin. Just because they're a pitcher doesn't mean, you know, I can't go hang out with them. And for me, it's they're awesome dudes, so I'm going to get to know them that much more.
What's it like I don't know when you met your wife, but you have three children.
Mm-hmm.
So those moments when you're being told, nope, going to be sent down.
Yep.
That phone call or that, you know, she sort of knows what she got into when you guys were young enough when you realized this is the game. But what's it actually like to have to make? There's two types of calls. I didn't make it. And then the best part is when you get to make that call saying, by the way, I'm going back.
Honey, I'm going to the Giants, or honey, we're going to Fresno. One of those deals.
Yeah, right? Giants and Fresno. That's funny. I got my first call up from Fresno. And, yeah, those are special moments. But then there's moments like my wife flying out to San Diego when I was with the Rockies at the time, I believe it was. She just flew out there across the country from Georgia, and then I get in and say, hey, we're going down. So literally she gets in one day, the next day we're flying back out. And so she just flew 5 hours across the country with a toddler, and now we're getting sent back to AAA. So there are great moments, but then again, I still have an opportunity. So you have to look at, you know, positives out of it, but it's not easy all the time.
How much better? We joke all the time. It's a better threat count. Your bags are put onto things. How much better is playing in the major leagues than playing in the minors?
I mean, I've definitely experienced AAA a lot in my career, and I'll remember all those moments, but I'm remembering and enjoying these moments that much more because it has taken me a long time to get to this point. So,
do you know DeRosa at all?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, there's a story. Didn't he leave some bats for you one day?
Yeah, I was on MLB Network a week or so ago, and they brought up that story. So he was rehabbing in San Jose 2010 in High A when he was with the Giants, and he left his bats. And to this day, I'm still using that same model, same size, same length bat, because he left his big league wood for me to use. It was like six bats. And the next game, I was 3-for-5 with a homer. So I'm like, it's the wood. It's big league wood. So that was my first moment and first story with D-Row.
So we've had this conversation about how guys want to get out of the minors. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. The drive, the goal, whatever. It's the money. It's whatever it is, whatever. But he says most guys, when they look back, they go, I had a pretty damn good time in the minor leagues. It's a lot more fun looking back at it, I guess. But there is that. There's something different about that. You're being paid, but it's not what it is up here. But in a good way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, everything's heightened in the major leagues. There's more focus, more attention on you, and to do better. Sometimes, if it's meant to be to go back down, you're getting sent back down to the minor leagues. It's a good reset. And I think, you know, listening to Fulte the other day talk about it, it was a good reset for him. And that was probably the best thing for him. Getting sent back to the minors sometimes isn't the worst thing, because then you can, I think for most situations in those times, it allows you to breathe and to relax and to just kind of become the player that you should be. I think it's a blessing more than anything when you're back there. And again, I hate saying getting sent down, being called up. It's how it is. But sometimes it allows you to just play baseball. And because everything's, you're on those, you're not on charter flights anymore for the most part. You're waking up on a 6 a.m. Southwest flight and then playing that night. So you experience things a little bit more of a normal life in the minor leagues. And, you know, those relationships are built a little bit more there too.
So you know how this team wins. Give us, as we finish up, give us the ways that the Atlanta Braves win baseball games in October. What has to happen? What has to be in line for this team to have continued success in October?
I think going back to it is like, don't do too much. Do your part. Have fun. Do your part. And then it goes back to, you know, whoever's pitching, just focus one pitch at a time. Again, just hone your attention in that moment. Just be in the moment. Offensively, you know, again, it's one pitch. Every pitch, even from the stands, even from the dugout where I'm going to be watching from, I'm focused every single pitch. I'm not going to walk in to the cages or up the steps to get something to drink or whatever it may be. Like, I'm focused as everybody else is too. So when we're playing, when these guys are out there playing, it's just being that much more focused. And yeah, just play baseball. You know, we have 9 innings. Have fun. Just go have fun. You know, it's easy to look ahead too. Like, all right, maybe we'll win these 3 games and we'll face whoever. Or what's the World Series going to be like? You know, you got to win game one first. And I've been guilty of that. It's like you always want to look ahead to see, you know, what if we do win all this? What's the parade going to be like? All that stuff. Well, I'm sure it would be great. But let's focus on Thursday first.
It's been an incredible run this year. When you think about, you mentioned Fulton Evich getting sent down. We talk about some of the injuries, your injury, Dansby's out for a while. You retool the bullpen, and yet here you are right where you want to be.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it doesn't take just – it takes more than 25 guys. It's going to take 40, 50 guys, coaching staff, fans, front office, everybody to help. You need everybody to help to mesh to win games.
You could have three guys starting the first three games of the postseason who were not here in the beginning of the year. Because people forget, like, Soroka wasn't – he didn't start in Philadelphia. He wasn't one of your first three starters.
Right.
Mike was banged up. Mike was supposed to be the opening day pitcher. That
in Dallas.
Three guys.
Incredible.
I said I'm guilty. April 1st, I always ask everybody, hey, how do you feel about this bunch? And everybody says, I feel great. We haven't lost a game. The real answer is come back on August 1st, and I'll tell you what I feel about this bunch, because there's going to be a bunch of changes and a bunch of things are going to go some right, some wrong over a four-month period to get to the point where you really make a push to be a good baseball team.
It's crazy how it works, right?
Yeah.
It's like we start 0-3, and everyone's probably thinking, oh, Phillies are going to win, Braves are done, Braves are supposed to get fourth again or whatever.
Oh, don't say whatever. You guys heard all of it.
Yeah, we heard it a few times.
Yeah. You heard all of it.
Yeah.
If they don't hear it, somebody tells
you,
right?
It is what it is. People have opinions, and that's okay. And then it comes back, and then we can talk about it now and say, no, the Braves did it again. We won the division again. So it's fun. It makes it to where we want to go out there and win and prove people wrong, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not mad at people for their opinions and what they say and what they say about us, and it just makes for good talk later on.
It sure does. Charlie, we appreciate you coming in and talking with us. Get better, heal up, and hopefully you make a difference in one way or another, and we're talking about moving on, beating the Cardinals, and so on and so forth. Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Charlie Culberson here in studio with us.